podcast. Kelly Keller, official.com.
Instagram UK Frontline.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller podcast.
Present and correct, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from the Keller Dome, the Watchtower, central London, central as you need to be. This is the Killer Keller podcast, and big shout out to Graffiti Kings, taking care of business as usual. We have a very, very special guest. It's like, bro, like, it's just, this is those ones where it's like, I can do this. I can actually get the dons in. Ladies and gentlemen, Form 72 inside the ride, DDS. How are you, brother?
I'm good. Yeah? I'm good. Yeah.
How's trouble? All right.
Trouble's keeping away at the moment, but I'm good. Yeah, man. Yeah, my leg's working and everything's it's all right at the moment.
What happened to your leg?
I flew off a motorbike. Well, no, someone flew into me on a motorbike.
Stop it.
Yeah, man.
Where were you? What, you were crossing the road or something?
No, I was riding down a road, crossing the road with a motorbike.
So
unless I'm doing stunts.
You were doing the driving.
Yeah. What happened was, going down, someone just cut across me. I went straight into them.
No,
the problem was I was sober, see? If I was drunk, wouldn't have happened.
Right, okay, stop. I've got a theory on this.
That's what someone come to me with. He goes, Jay, you were sober.
Yeah.
It's not like you. He goes, if he was drunk, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
I was thinking the other way. I was thinking, just as when I weren't drunk because of insurance reasons.
Yeah.
Chances are, if I was fucking high, I would have been all right.
Right, so in the States, right, you know what it's all about. It's like they get felonies for like things like drink driving and stuff like that. And in LA, it's the most notorious place for drink driving because you've got to drive everywhere.
Yeah.
Right, I would happily get in a drunk driver with a drunk driver in LA. I just would.
Yeah.
They're like the safest drunk drivers ever.
Yeah.
Arguably more safer than not only the drunk drivers in the UK, but also drunk drivers full stop.
Well, I don't know. My friend Michelle's a bit fucking crazy behind the wheel when she gets pissed. Does sharp turns, and if you're in the back, my friend nearly went through the fucking window. But
stop
sharp turns. That does this thing, man. It's like the whole fucking car. Sharp
corners.
Turns.
Kiss the corners.
Kiss the corners. Yeah, seriously, it's the can opener.
Yeah.
Just go around, you know. But yeah. But, you know, yeah, it's weird. It's a weird one. But, yeah, that happened. So, yeah. So I'm just coming out the other end of it now. So I've just been quiet because, as I say, I've been on crutches. I've been on crutches for over a year.
I think it happens with a lot of self-employed people, but it certainly happens when you're your own boss of your creative output. To be broken-footed or broken-legged.
Broken-legged. Well, it was lucky that I was self-employed and stuff like that. Because, I think there's no job to lose. Mm. So, and anyone that knows me knows I don't really work anyway. I pretend to work, but, you know.
Oh, mate, you're done.
If I had a 9-to-5, I would have lost it. There's no one was going to keep me going for, you know, a year because there was complications and stuff. So
it's a lifestyle choice in that. The not wanting to work thing. Or is that...
Well, I'm thinking about breaking my other leg now. Lifestyle choice.
Man. Just to sustain.
Sustain, exactly. That was a good year. I'm going to throw myself out of a window next.
Oh, I mean, the amount of conversations I've had with writers, particularly, you know, from the London area where it's like the lifestyle of graph and it's a vocation.
Yeah.
It's a real vocation. And you know, that 9-to-5 lifestyle for you guys is actually 5-to-9.
Yeah. it was 24/7 at one point. I mean, it is definitely a vocation. It went on for a while, but that was the, you know, the fun times, and that was, you know, getting up, going out, you know, racking paint, and then going out, and then to rack. Right, so I just racking become a big thing. It wasn't just paint. I racking everything.
Really?
So I mean, one of the funniest ones was, I remember getting, when I got arrested a few times for racking. I was just stealing anything. I mean, it was a fisherman's hat, a fucking tool belt. It was embarrassing. This guy that got me is like built like a brick shit house. I couldn't get away from him. He couldn't fit through that door. And seriously, man, I think he was, because I would always get these fucking conversations with security guys, like his mates, and I'm thinking, I don't even want to be here. And he's like, oh man, I'm kind of UK Mr. Universe. I shit you not, the guy was fucking massive, And then, yeah, and he goes, well, what do you want with this gear? And I said, like, I don't know. I don't know, I couldn't nick the paint, so I just nicked this because the paint was hot. But yes, yeah, it's fucking fisherman's hat. What the fuck do I want with that? Yeah. But yeah, so it's just useless shit. But racking was the whole 360 of getting up, going out, but yeah, getting the paint, finding somewhere to paint. And definitely as time went on, he started getting real heyday was when we started getting into booze big time and fucking raising booze. And then,
Was there any other thing? I mean, like, take the fisherman's hat and the rod and that. You know, this is kind of
fisherman's hat.
Is this the kind of thing, right? Yeah. Just for my own clarity on the raising game, like, is that with a view to selling it on?
Nah, it's a buzz of just fucking stealing stuff. So how do you live?
Business,
man.
How's a writer?
I was at home a lot. I mean, I moved out. I moved out in my 20s. But then again, I was, you know, fucking housing. I was just on the fucking signing on housing, and then any other little bits and pieces. Yeah. I wasn't selling shit. I don't know how I got along, to be honest.
It's crazy when you, because I was the same with music.
Because I never sold. I never didn't sell the shit I was nicking. I used to have this fucking cabinet full of shit, like fucking your click cameras and trainers and all kinds of bullshit. And actually, half of it just used to stay there. Friends used to come around and go, oh, do you want this? Go, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, chuck it in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you know, and it's just
teacher like, would say, Teach told me about a few stories where he's just like, you got vegan XYZs of like things that were just nabbed. And it's like, what the fuck am I going to do with vegan bread? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Take it, whatever, you know. Yeah, oh, yeah, fuck, yeah. I went more for bits of goods and stuff like that. I mean, say you was out, you might sort of take a fucking sandwich or some bits and bobs, but I wasn't raising to the extent of food and that. But just going to B&Q, I used to have this long, it was a ridiculous shoplifting jacket. It literally come down past my knees, a fucking puffer. And he had the B&Q, and he goes to these places so much, it makes me laugh now. He'd all go, you all right, Sharon? How you doing? She's like, all right, whatever. You got, you know, so like, all right, yeah, yeah. And know your face and go in there, and you come out. And he's, you know, right angles coming out. And he's like, fucking Jack, you know, he's got a metal Mickey chest.
They're kind of moving like that, a little left to right, bulky.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm sure I'm taking a piss now. See you later, Sharon. Going out. It's ridiculous. And I'm like, bathroom mirrors. And fucking, like, just ridiculous shit. Dimmer switches. Like, what the fuck do I want dimmer switches? I've actually still got dimmer switches in my cupboard.
Wow.
Never used them.
Wow.
Brushed, not the shiny ones, the brushed ones, you know. You know, the real expensive ones.
I mean, we're talking in hindsight now, in retrospect, but you know, with all jokes aside, this was definitely like a time of that. Like, that's a lifestyle thing for a lot of writers, isn't it?
The racking, the paint, you know, going out, finding places, going on the line. It was just a continual will going out. Seeing other writers, say painting, or going around people's houses. There was a couple of houses that we used to frequent all the time and just get fucking stoned and say we're going to do a load of shit and then get stoned and not do it. Or maybe and do it. You know, there was some great missions as well. But like,
because every night is a potential opportunity, isn't it? If you're out, you can be out whenever you want with that lifestyle.
Wake up whatever time, 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Definitely winter. Dark, it's just dark, perpetual darkness going out, you know, that kind of stuff.
Do you guys get used to it, do you reckon? You always get used to the darkness and kind of
pain. It's a comfort in it. I couldn't do it now, but there's a little comfort in it in a way. It's funny, actually. It's really
because you're coated in the black.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really weird, yeah. It's kind of, I suppose, just a different energy. You just go out there. It's really weird. It's funny, it's really, I get nostalgic about it now. I never really thought about it for a while.
That's cute, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
I have that with a lot of things.
Yeah,
like,
I've not thought about it. It's waking up, it's dark, and then you go out, and, you know, and that's it, man. Till 4, 5, 6 next morning, and come back.
What's that feeling when the sunrise? I mean, you must have had these moments of like total and utter bliss, and then you see the sun rising. What's that feeling like?
It's good. Depends where you are. I mean, it depends. You just fucked up at someone's house, or many a time being in the yard, and the sun's coming up, and you're like, yeah, that's nice, and something's gone well. Or you're walking back from somewhere, you know, maybe through the city or whatever, and the sun's coming up, and you've had a good night. It's nice.
Let me back up for a second just to explain to the people, because some people ain't from London, a lot of them come from other places to check out the podcast. So Form 72, man, like one of the originals, one of the original London graffiti DDS members, and a writer in his own right. As like, I mean, that's 72 in itself. I have so many different conjured images of where they are and how you did them, and because really ran parallel to everything that I was doing in music in my childhood, yeah. bro. Yeah. Like, it's almost like a comforting thing that when I landed back home in London, I would see it.
Yeah.
Okay, there it is. Or there's a cause or that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. these are the fundamental things that, yeah. that people remember, isn't it? Like, yeah. was that always the idea? Because 72 being, even its shape, even them two yeah. things together, yeah. like, there must have been, like, a real... You must have knew straight away, you're like, this is the one.
You know what? It was a throw-up. It was easy. I mean, I hate the form. I fucking hate it. I never...
Don't you? You don't like it, no?
No, I fucking hate it.
It's got the two angles.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's right. But for years, what the fuck am I doing with this? But it went past the point of no return. I'm going to stick with this shit, man. Yeah, you know what? Yeah. You know, bro, fuck it. You know, and I try and get it. Yeah. You know, try it. And it's kind of become now like anything. It's like an old pair of fucking shoes you've got to like... They were originally they were a little bit square, or they were a little bit something wasn't right with them. Had four stripes instead of three. And then yeah, so the 72 is just easy. So you just, you know, bang, 72 72 72 72, and that was a thing. And so it's just more of a laziness. No, and I do like the number for some weird
when
reason.
You see for instance when you see 10 or force on them guys, not necessarily with reference to the number, but the kind of bubble loose funk. That you totally own that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I can see that definitely with the four stuff and whatever. They kind of, you know, God knows. I mean, everyone, I'm a big believer in, it'd be nice to know if I spoke to them and say, yeah, actually, I did get a little bit of my flow from you. I'd be like, oh, nice one, man.
Mm.
But, man, at the same time, many a times, man, I've come up with ideas and completely had no idea about somebody else has had a similar idea. People looking at you, oh, you fucking bit that. I'm like, I really didn't. They're like, yeah, you did.
I wouldn't know. Yeah,
I really didn't. Yeah, you did. Oh, fuck off. You know what I mean? I fucking didn't, man. But yeah, no, shit happens. Yeah, and so yeah, I mean, but yeah, there's a couple of different ones where I look at it and I think, wow, it looks fucking similar.
Mm.
It's funny, but you know, but it's. Man, it's happened a lot in the graph game as well, you know. And that's the thing, you know, we get stuff off other people, you know. And the thing is, I don't believe much in biting as such. It's just more the fact of, I don't know, man. It's, I think paying homage.
Homage. You do. I think people do in general. Like, yeah. When I think back, at the time when I was, like, arguing the toss with people of, like, what my reference points were and what inspires you, you always swear blind, you, no. Yeah. But as you get older, you realise, yeah, I did actually. There was a little bit of influence there. Because if it wasn't for that, then I wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And as for the person, I mean, it stems from way back in battling days and stuff, which is, you know, it was important where people were like, you fucking bit this shit, you know. Mm. And we really was. Back in the day, man, people wanted to keep it to themselves, whether it was a record name or whether it was a star. It's just mine. It's not yours, you know. And it's funny, I think things have changed. So I suppose different people, things are changing up to a point. It's like, oh man, you know, if you like it, fucking have it, you know. And actually, kind of the way I see it is kind of like, wow, if you think it's any good and you like it, I quite like that.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah, great, you know. I mean, otherwise, people are like, fucking shit, I wouldn't touch a punch bowl.
Yeah, that's
a pile of shit seven that you're doing. So, okay, fair enough.
I can't imagine that ever happening, to be fair.
No, but you know. I know. Well, I don't know. I mean, I laugh at this shit.
Let's look at the comments afterwards.
It depends on the state of mind I'm in. I look at it, I'll be like, oh, fuck, man. You know. I always remember funny, I said when I'm coming up here and I see that Asset 72 thing, and I always remember when, if ever I'd done stuff with him, and he'd be like, fuck, man. He'd be like, I want to neaten this up for you, man. I want to neaten this up, because I'd be there. I'd always get fucking trashed with him anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'd be there. So he goes, and bless him. And he'd always stick by and a bit later, fixing my outline and fixing that. Can't leave it like that. You can't.
Oh, bless him. Hold tight, Asset. Rest in peace, Asset.
Yeah. My
you,
man.
You were very patient, weren't you? You were super patient.
We've got lots of good stories with him, man. As I say, it just come to mind because I come past on the bus. I haven't seen that in the daylight, that thing there. since doing it. I do that a lot with stuff. Unless it's somewhere I go regularly, you do something, I don't see it again.
Whereabouts is that in Queen's Park?
Just across the road from the actual station. On the bridge, and straight over the box. And it's got Daz next to it. I think he started it with Daz.
Yeah.
And then he went there to finish it. I happened to be there. He's like, come along, there's space on the end. And so I went down there and, done that.
Yeah, hold tight, Daz F24. Mm. Anyone that's not checked out that podcast as well, it's a fuego. Let's go back. Let's take it back.
Yeah.
Let's go back to, as a child, from early doors of checking out Graf.
Graf, yeah, man. I mean,
where are you originally from?
Tufnell Park.
Tufnell Park,
North London. Mm. And so early, I mean, shit. I mean, Holloway was fucking nuts. I mean, you had like Shoe 2, this guy called Rees, you had NLA Robbo, North London Arts, Sub, of course.
Hell yeah.
They've always been a constant. I mean, lots. Was it Reach 2? Reach 2, there's lots of different people. Carl, they were sort of people down. He used to go down there, and it used to be a place called DLR. And I remember kind of going over, and it was an old shed, a disused shed on the Finsbury Park line. And we used to go up there, and it was battered. It was like, one of the ones where you'd, as a kid, just smash the fucking windows and paint and whatever. And,
So how old were you at that time? Roughly.
Must have been about 13, I'm guessing.
Oh, so you were an early starter.
I got into Graf probably just at the back end of junior, just before going into secondary school.
Christ, wow, it's early doors, man.
And I don't know, the thing is, it's weird because it was before Subway Art came out. When Subway Art came out, I mean, that's a game changer.
That's a game changer, yeah.
But it's really weird. I had this guy called, he used to write sketch at school, and he does, I don't know if you remember the Unity Jams.
Yeah, I do. Oh, cool,
Do you ever remember the elk piece, and it had the pieces next to the angel and the devil next to it?
Yeah, dude, totally.
Yeah, yeah, with that Saker, he got me into Graf. Well, he got me into Graf, but he was a massive influence, man. I mean, because we used to be there, and he was always
Unity
been amazing.
Jams used to be biblical,
And so he was like fundamental in the early. He used to do these, always been amazing at characters. I mean, but he used to throw up these characters and that. He's a character man.
Wow.
And he was a real influence. But that was in Ellis when I was there. And another guy called Finn used to do these fucking called crazy style, hilarious, like wild style, but it's called crazy. He made it crazy style. He's fucking it was pretty cool. I'd love to have photos of these things. I've got nothing. Literally, I was not a photo person.
So if you're out there and you have these photos,
send them in.
Yeah, man.
That was early school time, and then I started really writing with this guy called Care, not the West London Care that some people know about, but it's another Care. Them days as well, you kind of isolate unless you was really in it. Kind of, I remember you kind of didn't know unless you was really travelling around. And so
there was a couple of Cares, wasn't there?
Yeah,
I know. I got a mate,
but he was bad, man. I tell you what, he had a wicked hand style. He could tags wise, he was amazing. I think he's better than the original Care personally, but. We was kind of small time, and we were just around just North London and stuff, Archway, Holloway, stuff like that. But it was fun times, fun times. You're going out and exploring, you're going up to High Barnet Yard and getting in fire. Them days the yards didn't have fucking fences, they'd like bloody trellises on them and stuff like that.
No, so not you could just...
It's a garden. Wow. And fucking wooden fences.
No way.
Yeah. And so what he used to do was just wait around because we didn't have the balls to go in there sort of daytime and shit like that. I mean, you had Sub and people like that. They took the piss. They used to go in there and cope. That's another guy who would cope from Archway.
Wow.
And so he used to go up there and they'll be in there daytime just doing shit. I mean, we used to do, I don't know how the fuck.
Liberties, that's crazy when you think about it.
Yeah, man, kids just running around, And the thing is, I suppose that's the thing, they'll chase you, but just chase you out. And I think it wasn't so bad that they might call the police, but the police are going to take a while to come. You're out there, But yeah, we used to do all-nighters. And we used to go there Yeah, he's about to knock out the little boards underneath the wooden fence. I mean, he could have climbed over it. I mean, it was much more higher than that, but to go underneath, wait for the cleaners to go, and then you'd have all 7-8 trains there, and just help yourself.
But, so that was what era? That
must have been 85, 86.
Wow,
must have been 85, 86 like because I still I didn't leave Tufnell Park till 88. Mm. So yeah, it's a few years. I'd say about 86.
As a kid, that must have been quite liberating. The idea of like London being as big as it was, and you'd only known a certain, but going. Working out the lines and being able to have a reason to go out and do things.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have much of a clue then to be working out the lines and stuff like that. I mean, that because being on Tufnell Park, Highgate didn't exist then. That didn't open up again till years later.
Really?
Yeah, Highgate was shut. That was just a dead yard for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you had Edgware. Never done Edgware for some reason.
Never?
Never ever went in there.
I heard that was a bench for a lot of DVS back in the day, no?
Yeah, Golders Green. No, not Golden.
No, Farringdon.
Farringdon. Farringdon used to hang around there a lot. I did do Farringdon early. PIC took me there. Bumped into him one day and just ended up tagging around with him for the day. And it was actually a weird, it wasn't Christmas. I know it wasn't Christmas, but for some reason, when we went in there, that fucking yard was smashed. I mean, it was like a Casby, there was noise, all NWA stuff in their shoe, but to the point of where it was hard to fit a tag in.
Really?
I'm not even talking about this.
What the fuck?
I mean, from back then, there's still classic photos from that event. There's online, you see the Casby pieces and that, and you'll see a little form thing up there. I was finding it hard to put a tag. That's how bad it was to find a place to put a tag. But yeah, so he used to come in by this door off the street and go down. It was I'm not sure if that's through the car park. I mean, it's all But that's the first time I'd done. It's a different beast down in them days. There's no fences, no nothing. Yeah. It was just you come down onto the BR tracks and walk straight across. There's no fence.
Wow.
So yeah.
When we talk about glory days, there must have been like a real turnaround of events in their minds when they saw how much tagging was going on. That's probably what spurred there was an immediacy, wasn't there? Like an immediate public reaction to like this shit. But it was unstoppable by then.
By 88, everyone was writing. I had mates who weren't even into Graf and they had a fucking tag.
Mm-hmm.
So it just got fever pitched. I think Tufnell Park, it was in the newspapers. It was one of the most bombed. The North platform going back up to Barnet, it was fucked, man. I think it's like when you used to go to South London. Always South London was extra. You'd go to the buses, so you get on the bus, and then from the back window, it's like a fade. It was black and red and blue.
Yeah.
And then as it got through to the middle, because you used to have the mirror thing that went up, and maybe the bus driver could see, so they wouldn't go to the front because you never know. And so the back was blit, and it kind of petered out around there. But it was, and I'd be like, fuck, South London was bonkers, man. Yeah. They Graf wide, but they did. 88 was fever pitched. And it, and then in the end, they was like, we can't hack this. We need to change shit. And I think, a lot of different things happened.
Mm.
And then 89, 90, it quietened down a hell of a lot, you know.
Was, would you say, I guess Zom was probably the same era as you?
He was probably really, he was much more active when I was in the 80s, my early days, he was more active. I mean, him in event and stuff like that, he was smashing it right. And so
TKS?
I'm not sure what crew he was running with back then. Yeah, Total Chaos. I don't know. I'm not sure. Might come back to me. But he was over south. I don't know if so much more. But then again, saying that, there's loads of stuff, man. I didn't know what I was at that time. I didn't know what I was doing. But yeah, no, he's much more active, man. Him and event smashing it. You know.
Yeah,
I mean, he's one of them fucking constants. There's a few people. No, it's not really that many anymore. He's one of the few people that's constant, and he has, you know, from all the way from then to now, smashing it.
Yeah, it's amazing. No, I was just trying to get my reference points because from previous podcasts as well, it's What I'm really loving is the tapestry of it all, you know, and just getting the real finer details about what point certain events happened and whatnot.
Yeah.
When did you get into DDS?
DDS started about 93.
So you were from the inception of DDS. You were.
I remember when Shu come through the door. Because what happened was Sub was in prison. So Sub was in prison, and then for some reason, you know, because I used to see Sub before he went into prison. He come out of prison. And then I remember getting stones up at my window, and I was like, the fuck? And so, from then on, we used to hang out a lot. Me and Saab were like, right. And remember the day Shu come through, and he was just like, in purple haze, he's loved puffing. He'd go, got an idea. Put DDS up, and like he just come got this idea, and he's like, and me and Sub looked at each other, was like, all right,
wow,
yeah, man,
wow, that's crazy,
yeah.
So how many of you was in initially this the original?
No, it's just me. Well, that was just us three. Him, and then him, it was just us three. I mean, what happened was that what made DDS so bad. I mean, you know, if you. He's amazing ideas. I mean, you know, anyone that knows him is that graph wise amazing. I mean, his pieces and stuff like that, he's very creative. Mm. But Sub was he's the one that basically brought everyone in. Mm. So he was out there like because you had a real. Quite a lot of a crossover from the 90s. I mean, he like Diet, for example, you know what I mean? Mm. Stax,
old Titan,
you know what I mean? Right, they were all the Titans at that time. He brought in, you know, I mean, it was some new ones like Keds and Irish,
Irish, bro, you know, Irish, yeah, of course.
No, lovely guy. You know, who else? Trying to think now because obviously, you know, Zom. Trying to think, Teach.
Yeah.
I remember meeting Teach, man, for the first time. Because they were MTS guys, you know. I remember meeting him. West Ham. I think it was West Ham, and I was having a real hissy fit. We met Teach, and I just like, I remember meeting him, and I was like. I want to go home. I'm going home. I'm just tired. That's me. Right, little bitch. That's what we still have. And the thing is, and I was like, I'm going to go home. And I kind of tried to go home. And then no trains. And I don't know how I managed to do it. I didn't even have mobile phones. And I'm not sure. But managed to meet them up again. And I had the shittest paint. It's cycle style stuff. I'd raised it from Halfords. It was a fucking
mess. I remember that stuff.
It is. I could piss thicker than that stuff. And bombing. And I think going through West Ham Station. And writing Arsenal all over it. I mean, that's that shit.
Oh, my God. That's how much of a mood you were in.
Yeah, I was in a mood, but as well. So I can't even bother to bomb it. It's like writing Arsenal over. And, but that first time seeing him. So, but the thing was, with DDS, and it's a Sub, he just put together this, man, you know, it was, they were all in their own rights. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Legends already. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Most it just of suddenly become really, like the
brilliant, oh, man.
Yeah, the game.
You know, remember sitting there at his house and he'd have, you know, a room full of, you know, people. Because they were between Sub's house, Teacher's house, and then a little bit later, Pabs and Tika's place, I think. I know, and... He was living there as well. Petro, you know.
Jeez, yeah. That's a name I ain't heard from.
Yeah, man. Because he was living in that house as well. So you had these three houses, which were basically there, and that was to do that with DDS, really. Wow. You know, as time went on, and so you had all these kind of North London, West London. Well, yeah, two North London ones, and so that's pretty much we used to bounce between. And
that's crazy. Yeah, man. I mean, I've never heard the story of how it all began. That's fucking
man. Yeah, because coming, he's just got this idea. It's funny.
What happened to Irish? What happened to those kind of more like
life, innit? I think Irish, from what I gather, for Irish, I think he's a lorry driver and he ended up getting a girlfriend or wife, whatever, yeah. And just life, innit? Strange, you know, yeah. That's what happens with a lot of, well, with graph, you grow up, yeah. and you end up moving on, don't you? You know what I mean? It's like you have kids and yeah. stuff like that. And
do you have kids?
Nah, man. No. That's why I've still got my hair.
Me too.
I love, you know. No, I can't see that happening.
No, no, I agree too. I'm not really that kind of guy. I mean, there is probably share something very relatable in yeah. this respect. Is like no matter what medium you work with and what your shtick is, what you're into. One thing's for sure: if you let life, the usual life stuff, consume you,
yeah.
Something suffers creatively. Yeah. Something suffers.
Yeah. Well, so you know, but sometimes it depends. I mean, I suppose there's always an option, but whether or not you feel it's available to you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's it's a tough one, man. Sometimes you just totally, man. I've had that myself with and work. Work's one that we have work and family, but work is a major one. Sometimes you just have to earn money.
Yeah. Family's another one as well.
Yeah, family's more fun than work. Well, yeah. Hopefully it is, saying that, not always, but you know.
What do your family think of your kind of career path, like what you've achieved? Because in my mind, it's achievement.
What
writing? Yeah, like what?
It's just a fucking. It's they just laugh at it. My mum, one of the funniest things she said, we moved from Tufnell Park up to Whetstone, and she goes, this is quite a few years later. She goes, you turned Whetstone into Tufnell Park. She goes, I know, right? 72s everywhere. And it's funny because next door, they basically demolished all these houses. Mm. There's all these green, and it was just like Tufnell Park because they'd been knocking down the flats over the road. All these green boards. And I blitzed it, man. The high road and all that.
That's amazing.
You made it look like. I was just to laugh. I was just like, well, you know, don't get ideas above your station, love. Yeah. It was funny. I always remember. She bless her. She accepts it, but I think like any parent does, they just don't. They're like, what the fuck are you doing?
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So nowadays, especially the way I think a lot of the media accept it, but I also think some of the people behind the scenes of media also recognise as graffiti being an inspiration of theirs, street culture being an inspiration of theirs, right?
See, you've got street art, graffiti, as in the artistic side of stuff, yeah. Mm. Then you've got the vandalism side where most people would just go, nah, man, tags. People, and the thing is, with me, I love tags. But don't get me wrong, I mean, you have to do it for a while before you start getting a decent hand style and a tag looks good. Because when you start off, I mean, I still fucking do terrible tags, but it's kind of like, I love that, get someone who's got a great tag, man. I like that as much as a good piece.
What's the technique to a great tag?
You're asking the wrong person.
But you've seen them, though.
Yeah.
Like, so what's your take?
Well,
like,
it's what's a flow, your take, isn't it? I suppose at the end of the day, it's very much like a piece. At the end of the day, you it's like a signature. It's just, that's you. You've been, you know, and you've taken the time to perfect it, make it yours and make it, I don't know, man. You know, I mean, like, I always remember this old, some of my favourite tags. I'm just trying to think now. Like, there's an old tag back in the day, Fury. And
F-R-U-Y.
F-R-U-Y, yeah. F-R-F-R-F-U-R-Y. And he's got these fucking massive things, but he had a beautiful hand style. Shoe 2
has a bang.
Beautiful,
yeah.
Man. I mean, you get certain people that just, yeah, they've just got this flow. Yeah, amazing, you know. And actually, Stacks, he used to have, everything he done was slow. You'd do a piece, you'd be like waiting for an hour for him to come out the yard. But he just, you know, he'd have this flow and he'd do it so exact. It's, oh, man, okay.
Time is a beautiful,
yeah,
friend.
If you got it, but it's the thing with a tag, and that's the thing. Sometimes it's that mix between shit, this is hot, I want to get it out of the way quick, I don't want to get nicked, or to take your time and execute it correctly. And that's the thing, you know.
Under pressure.
I'm saying that some people are fucking quick and it's good.
And they smash it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So there's maybe I'm just too fucking, I'm too slow and stupid.
No, but technique at any situation is key, isn't it? Like, you can kind of tell, I mean, I'm just purely an observer, but there's certainly something to be said about, like, when you can check the maneuver of a person when they're doing a tag, when they've done a tag, and you see how quickly they've done it. You can almost tell, like, what situation they were in almost sometimes by the way they, you know, sign off almost.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, man. Mean does a good tag as well.
Mean does a blinder. Yeah.
Zombie does nice. He's got a very straight, quick style. Mm. There's certain people, man. Teach. You've got a lovely flow. Do you know what I mean?
I love the way his style's gone now. I love his direction of style. Like, it's kind of like he's definitely the forerunner alongside maybe that ATG.
Yeah.
There's a real kind of naivety, would I be underplaying it, but there's a real kind of sense of space, and it's like one colour's real kind of decisive actions.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a lot of that going on, and Teach was he's definitely a forerunner of that, right?
Yeah. Definitely got his own style and stuff he's doing and stuff. Mm. Nice to see him still doing stuff. And, you know, he's another constant from when he started, you know, and constants just carried on.
Yeah.
Nice.
And with nowadays, I suppose, with the paint's been what they are. I mean, we talk about fucking Carplan and the old Halfords bollocks and stuff. You know, the only things really. I mean, not that I'm in any way, shape, or form being able to talk from experience, but you must have seen a huge leap from.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I mean, them days, you'd know certain cans that were good. It's weird, man, with Plasticoat, with Carplan. It's weird. It wasn't a constant because you'd know. A fucking this brown was good. You'd have a green, it was like piss. It's really weird. Same company, same fucking thing. We think it's the same company, right?
Yeah.
But then, you know, forest green, it's a certain kind of.
It comes out water.
High pressure and piss. And then you get another one, it's low pressure, and you'd be like, a thick paint. And you'd be like, okay. So you'd have to kind of navigate through different paints. I mean, my favourite paint. If you get it with belt on back in the day for colours and stuff like that. I mean, it depends what you was doing. I could never get hold of Bunts. I mean, I always say Bunts were for the fortunate. You know, you go out there and nick it and whatever.
There's a four-star General shop in Camden. Do you remember that?
I remember that General George.
Yeah.
Now, it makes me laugh. Yeah. Now, if you go there, it's the subway.
The subway.
Yeah. So what you do is I shout through the door. I go, have you got the 4-foot General George? Yeah. I always shout. They look at you like, what the fuck? Yeah. I just find it funny. Anyone out there wants to go past there, just shout in, I want the 4-foot General George. Because it's only short, right?
He used to have the gear. He used to have everything. Like, yeah, total man. Don.
I bought a mixer off of him. He was like the Arthur Daly of hip hop. Do you know what I mean? He was. He always had shit, man.
Yeah.
He'd buy it out, gooses, everything, man.
Everything.
I wonder what happened to that guy, man. Yeah. He's got to be still about selling shit, man.
I wonder.
Other that, he's got a serious fucking meth habit. Maybe. I don't know what happened.
He's on eBay.
He's
taken all of his stock onto eBay.
I hope he's doing. I hope he hasn't got the meth habit.
But you've known loads of writers in your time, haven't you?
Yeah, man.
I mean, you still do. You're still highly regarded. And I have always had time for people that are kind of binary, they kind of connect.
Yeah. It is, man. It's that so many degrees of separation, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's kind of, you do. Yeah.
I'm finding that with these podcasts, like the more, you know, you kind of go down the rabbit hole and respectfully as well. You know, there's no good reason why anyone would come around here for a chat or anywhere else for that matter. But what I'm discovering is like the layers of like, actually there is a lot of connectivity and experiences that we, and I think with age comes a level of understanding and like, not everyone's going to get on with everybody, but you know, you're still alive, you're still here, you know?
Yeah. But like you said, with the writing world and that, it's a small community. Really, if you look at it on certain levels, it's kind of a small, it's like the hip-hop community.
Mm.
It's a small, you used to go out to jams and that, everyone would know each other. You'd know certain DJs, you'd know certain rappers, you'd know, you know, if you was into it, because it's kind of a small community, the graph community. And it's really funny because the more time you spend at it, and definitely I remember the first time, I never used to, honestly, never used to do it for any kind of self-gratification. I'd done it because I wanted, well, no, it was self-gratification. I wasn't looking for respect or any kind of outside of
gratification.
Yeah. So I used to go to paint where I used to go. And I remember being, I think it was Tufnell Park. And I just remember these guys coming up to me. They were drunk and just fucking acting the arse. And it's like, what do you write? And they were being real cocks. And then I was like, oh, 4.72. I didn't think nothing of it. You know, I was thinking, oh shit, you know, these guys are going to fucking, they're going to just keep ribbing me, man.
Yeah.
And it's like, and all of a sudden you just saw their face change. And I was like, it's a real weird experience. I was like, oh, okay, so, yeah, and I didn't really connect the dots. It's that weird thing where people start kind of, because they've seen you about, you get that kind of, a little bit of respect, and that kind of, it blew my mind a little bit at the time.
Yeah.
And I remember these guys, and they was being arseholes, and they completely, all that shit just melted. It's like, what? I was like, yeah. And it's just really weird. It's a really weird scene anyway, but yeah, but it is. And as time goes on, you get to know pretty much most people. I mean, you always bump into people and that, and you get talking on certain levels, or if they know you're, it's a fairly small scene, really, in general.
That being said, though, like, DDS as a crew has taken on, it's almost, and I've said this before to certain people, it's like the name is so established.
Yeah.
It's hard to kind of pin down who's in it or anyone at given time.
I only know the early, I haven't got a clue. I've got a X amount of people that are in it now, but obviously that when I was in it, I still am, but you know, when I was doing stuff and that was all active for me, I can only really speak for them. It was a kind of thing. If you was playing cards,
yeah,
I think you'd be winning.
It was
a winning hand. It was a good, there was some brilliant. Not only that, that's the thing, man. It was good times. Say we had so much. When I think about them times, we talk about stories and stuff like that. I mean, I'd have to sit down and think about it. But so many stories. I mean, and that's the thing. Funny fucking stories, man. Going to yards. I mean, like, for example, Fume. For example, man. I mean, that guy could do this. I mean, I don't think there's someone that probably done so much in a certain way for Graf and everyone else. It's very much a personal way to include people. So if you go into a yard, he'd want to include as many people as possible. He was
a galvaniser. He wanted.
Yeah, he was definitely that. And so, you know, bless him, he'd be like, yeah, right, got two cars. They would try and pack you into this fucking, driver at the time, this fucking 4x4, which he found funny, going, I'll point you to four-wheel drive, I'm going to go over this roundabout. How that guy never got nicked. How he didn't, I do not know. He's a force of nature. He's just a piss taker. But at the same time, he'd do it laughing. So, you know, he's like, he just says something, you're like, oh no, you're not. But he'll be giggling while he's saying it. Oh no, you're not going to do that for him.
That's amazing. He sounds like one hell of a character.
Oh man, he is. He's one of them people. Because I remember I kind of remember meeting him, and I remember, we become good friends. And very, very funny guy. But for graph wise, done a fuck of a lot, you know.
Yeah.
Done a hell of a lot. He's definitely one of those ones that, up there at the top.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He included people, so I liked. He wasn't one of those people that was kind of like, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. You know, he was kind of like, I want us to do this. And I think he's another real big, important person in DDS, you know.
100%.
There's quite a few missions he made accessible. He's like, right, I'm going to pack 60 people in this car. You'll go on the roof. Actually, I was in a boot. At one point, he had this fucking car. He had this fucking blue Fiesta or whatever. And I'd be like, oh, you know what? If I want to be in between five people in the Fiesta, seriously, I'll take the boot.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He found it funny, shoving the boot. And I remember going over, I think it was like London Bridge. And I'm probably stoned, man. And I'm thinking, fuck, I hope you don't skid off, end up in the river, man.
Because there's me in the boot.
Oh, right? The boot. I'm dead.
Yeah.
Dead.
It suddenly becomes a murder case.
It's a drowning case. I just started freaking out. But so, yeah, but it'd always be. I was in a boot a couple of times, man.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. No, you'll be all right. Yeah, don't wait. Slam. Oh, fuck. He's here in the front, fucking about. Oh, don't, man. Funny times.
Farringdon was the other space, wasn't it, for that era of please, Wicked. We're drinking cans here, ladies and gentlemen. You know what I mean? He's blessed the spot enough to, you know, bring through some Heinekens, which is awesome. Top boy. So Farringdon was a very much a haunt for
That race, man, it just seemed to carry on. I mean, at one point it got fever pitched. It's funny, I think, I don't know. I mean, someone that works for London Underground might say different, but it just seemed like certain yards just got destroyed to the point of where they shut them down. And that fucking place, man, I mean, it had, at the end, it had fucking rope ladders going down into it.
Wow.
That's Hume again.
Really?
It's a fucking nutcase. And basically, yeah, we climbed down a fucking rope ladder down into that yard. I mean, all the pieces and stuff like that on the wall. I mean, that's all due to that. He'd come through and, yeah, and that fucking, that, yeah, it's the same as South Harrow. I mean, that place got battered so much.
Right.
It's not windows, isn't it? I mean, that fucking, have some memories from that place, man. Take acid in there.
Really? That sounds so casual.
There's a little river in the background, man. That's like tripping out. And yeah.
What's your thought process in those situations where you're like, oh, I'm just going to drop a couple of...
Fuck knows.
Because there must have been in the back of your mind, I could get nicked for this, and I, you know, there could be fairies coming after me. I wouldn't know.
That's how easy it was. It's because you get to that point where you just, certain places, it's just like this.
You entertain yourself because it was
this,
that easy.
No, this fucking place is dead. I shit you not, it's like down across the road a few times, and you just knew they'd packed up for the night. They weren't coming back till 6, 5, where the fuck. And you just knew. I mean, you could have taken a bloody stereo system in there and played it, and that's the only thing that was missing. We'd be smoking, I remember, 4 MTS. He always talks about this time, and it's true, and I remember it, and it's great. And so we were doing a whole train in Gloucester Road, and me and him next to each other, and someone gave me a whole box of Philly Blunts. So, you know, I made a couple of blunts to go in there with, and we're there, piecing the train, smoking blunts by the train, man, just getting high and just painting the train, you know, beautiful. And it's like about 15 odd people. There's another fume job, man. It's like, you go crawling across this wall, fucking 30 foot up, bowed at the side. Like, I was like, I didn't like that. I don't like heights, man. I was like, this wall looks like it's going to fucking pop. I had to get down. And yeah, man. But I'm happy I did it. I mean, it was amazing. And everyone would be running for the front car and we'd be a bit stoned and up the fucking back, the hottest place in the yard. And yeah, fun times, man. But he always talks about that, man.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very fun times.
You seem very... Right, this is just me and my doctor self-analysis, doctor analysis right here. You seem very at peace with your career, of what you've achieved. And the I guess there is a shade of nostalgia there. And there's, but, and it's not the first time I've witnessed this with writers of your age, dare I say, because... It's almost like there was a glory time where that this sort of thing was just so passé, like you could go into a yard, there was no problems, there was no stress. It's almost like you really did have the glory to reflect on.
I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't fun. And the thing was, is that, yeah, I mean, it was fun. Mm. It was, that's what I wanted to do, and I managed to do it. People that I was around were fucking a great laugh. I mean,
it sounds like everyone was laughing the whole time.
I was blessed to be living here at that time with them connections. I'm blessed. Mm. That's all I can say, man, because, you know, it's a celebration. It's literally, I think of them times, man, great, great people, great time. And of course, I mean, that's the whole thing, isn't it, really? It's going, doing what you love and, the risk as well. I mean, but it's a whole adventure, you know, and getting in there, doing, you know, and man. I mean, I just feel lucky. I think to the point of even chance meetings, you know, the way that just, I mean, who would you couldn't make certain things happen, like with Sub and their being there when DDS all kicked off and they're meeting the writers. I always loved Graf from being younger, and I always say my career never really kicked off till really that happened. I mean, I was doing what I was doing, but then
all that kind of want
and that's, it's a little bit like, it's a little bit like kind of getting that dream job. up to a point. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind
of because you can't make these things happen. They kind of happen. They organically happen. And it was lovely, man. With the connections I made, the people I met, I was sitting there. Was, you know what I mean? Sitting there, fucking doing pieces and that with some of the best.
That's amazing.
You know what I mean? Amazing. You can't make that shit happen. It happens.
So when you was writing, so for instance, when you was in the Black Books scenario and you was pulling together a piece, that you'd all be together.
Sitting there in the subs room, for example, it'd be something about Stax, Diet, you know, Sub there, Shoe there, Keds, trying to think who else. And that's a mad thing. When you're there, when you're with other people, you know, all with these amazing ideas and that, you do better shit. Mm. You know, you kind of feed off that.
That energy.
You know? And it's like, you know, just like getting to know Zombie, for example. I mean, that was another mad all through DDS, and it's sitting down, great guy. I remember meeting him at PFB Jam and then just chatting with him all night and we become good friends. You know what I mean? Like, the best. It's just them kind of things, being, I don't know, lucky enough to kind of have these meetings and, get involved into Graf at that level.
Yeah, that's amazing. What I mean? Yeah, of course.
You know?
What motivates? What do you think motivates the likes of yourself and Zombie and, you know, because like you say, not everyone, you know, Irish, for instance, gone on and done other things.
Other stuff.
What motivates you to keep going?
I suppose the love of it at the end of the day. So I hear this so many from different writers and you just go, you don't give that shit up. I mean, going out, and I still go out these days, and I mean, the other night, I'd never pen on me. Churchill says, is it, golf's a great way to spoil a walk? I say, not having a pen is a bad way to spoil. It's a way to spoil a walk. Do you know that. What I mean? It's like, it's my way. That's the thing. I still have that. It's like, I've got a fucking
pen.
I'll always put a little tag up. I'll always put, you know, I will not lose that. I still do a little dub here and there. I mean, I'm nothing like I used to be. I haven't got the time, but it's weird. I don't know, the inclination, I'm not sure. But obviously, I haven't got the hunger.
That's interesting.
I haven't got the hunger like I used to have. And I remember being out with Temp. And who was, someone else was there, but the younger lot. And they were in some kind of warehouse. And I knew I never had hunger then, because they were there for the day. And I'm like, I'm cold. I want to go home. Mm. I'm fed up with this shit. Mm. And I knew, you know, you haven't got that hunger. Well, they're still going out. They're going out what we used to do. We were on the line. We racking. We'll be doing this. We'll be doing that.
How long ago was this?
That was about...
A while ago.
About a year and a half ago. Mm. Up in these old warehouses around near Whetstone.
I see.
And I was just like, yeah, I haven't got that hunger like that no more. I'll go there and I'll do something. Okay. I'll do a little dub or piece. Dub, my own piece. That's it. I'm done. Or, you know, meet me at the pub.
Yeah.
Old cunt I am.
No, but I think it happens to everyone. I definitely had a season or three with beatboxing where I was just like, totally. I'm like, yo, I can see the levels of rising. And although I could... I'm just like, nah, man, like, they're not this, nah, I'm just going to, where you go with that attitude, I have no idea.
Yeah.
And that's the real hardest bit. It's like, knowing that it's in you to be as creative as that, but the drive is suddenly, where's that fucking gone?
Yeah.
That's
exactly,
a fucker, that's crazy.
It is. I don't like, you know, I still love, I said this when I was recently, I was like, you know, if I could take a pill... the nearest you get is getting pissed and going out doing some bombing, but take a pill, that enthusiasm, right, man, you know, got that enthusiasm back. Mm. I love it. I used to love them days. I'd just be out there, my little bag, painting it, man. That was just it, 24/7.
You do know those days, which a lot of people don't, man.
Right, man.
It's just crazy.
I know, I don't forget. Yeah. That's the thing, I don't forget. I just see the change. Mm. It's... There's no way. I mean, you can't... I mean, anyone that... To be honest with you, anyone that did forget, to be honest with you, I think it's a bit fucking fraudulent because you can't. That's part of you, man, at the end of the day. Yeah. Unless, of course, it's something really bad and you just want to sweep it under the carpet. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, you know...
Camaraderie
go,
and
yeah, going out, graphic, and that's the thing. I mean, anyone that said, "Oh, yeah, I used to paint," I'm a bit embarrassed. I don't fuck off. It's come on, you know. It's so no, I'll never forget, man. Some beautiful days, beautiful people, beautiful times. That's the other thing, amazing freedom. You know, going out, we used to take the piss, but at the same time, it was so much fun.
Yeah,
you know
that freedom. What would you say the key things were that were in your life or have been in your life that have allowed that? Because a lot of people will be asking a question, and I often, even after a really deep podcast, I go away from myself, yeah, but how? Whether it's creative or whatever direction in your career it is, but how do you sustain? How do you sustain that? Like, how do writers sustain? How do they...
What do you mean? In what way? What?
Well, if you're not having, if you're not raising to
profit, right.
And you've been doing it for a long time. Like, yeah. You must know all the kind of opportunities that arise in, like, your, like, you could be in doing exhibitions, or you could be doing raising and getting money on eBay. I don't know. But you know,
I don't know. I know when I was living with my parents. Well, it's a no-brainer because you're a no-brainer because you're not really, you're outgoing. So, you know, when you got your own place and stuff. Mm. I mean, yeah, knowing me, I was probably doing little bits of work on the side, whatever that was. I mean, I was, you know, fucking building work, painting, decorating, all kinds of bullshit jobs just to earn a few quid here and there. Mm. And that's that. I mean, breaking computers, you know, that's always good. It's a joke. Anyone that knows me knows that's a joke about breaking computers.
I was there for a minute.
Yeah. Shit. Yeah, speak to Too Cold. He's always like, "Oh man, he's out of form. Don't let him near your computer, you bastard." It's a running joke, man. It's
Too Cold is tough too. Wow.
I know. Wow. It is, man. So yeah.
Anyone coming up that you'd be like, "Hey, you know what? I've got time for that." Smashing.
What do you mean? Smashing at the moment. Excuse me, Hotu at the moment's fucking getting up. I keep seeing Hotu. It's like Hotue.
He's getting up,
man. It's his little time. I mean, there's a couple. It's funny because I'm trying. There's a couple. I mean, 10 Foot's fucking going insane at the moment. I mean, you know, bro, he's come back. I mean, he went missing, but then again, from what I gather, he was kind of doing a world tour.
He's doing that whole freestyle. The way what's that Bode? That kind of Bode character. He was fucking with for a while as well. Like that character. You know what I mean? That funny looking character. He's old school. Like you can see.
Are you sure you're not getting messed up with Ashy?
Nah.
Definitely 10 Foot. Okay.
But yeah, he's fucking sick.
Yeah, so, man. He's been lately. It's ridiculous. And I had a friend who was up Heato. He was up in Cornwall. Yeah, he's up in Cornwall, and they were on a fucking cliff, and there's a 10 Foot reach on a gate.
Stop it.
Yeah, man. That's stupid. Who else is there? There's another writer, and you just go to the weirdest fucking places, and I'm thinking, why are you here? Yeah. It's not anything. I mean, it's like motorways, and these guys just, well, I suppose,
do you think that's in the mentality? Yeah, it was what I'm thinking. Yeah, I mean, do you think that there's any, I'll give you a story, all right? So, when I was, I used to love stickering, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Me and Solo One used to go, stay around his place when he's squatting and that. And my girlfriend at the time, we broke up. Broke up in really bad circumstances, which the majority of it is my fault. Yeah. And
it's the same story to tell.
Every man has their own stories. But as a get back, she decided to just like sticker her name everywhere in the places where I'd walk. Which I thought was really clever bit of PR, but just a reminder.
Clever bit of PR.
Yeah, everywhere I'm fucking going, all I'm seeing is Emmy. I'm just like,
brilliant.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to forget me, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. I'm done now. But you know what I mean? But I think there is something in a writer that, like, they don't actually think about where they're doing it. I don't think they actually think about whether anyone's going to see it. But we see it.
Yeah. But I mean, I always remember Diet saying it's a forever reach. And you do these little fucking, like, round the back of a chair or... Yeah. You know what I mean? I remember forgetting. A forever reach. That's a forever reach. I remember him saying it years ago. And that's the thing. We just put a little reach somewhere. It's not going to get buffed because even the people that are fucking cleaning ain't going to see that shit. But at some point, someone's going to look around and go, oh, it's a diet. Oh, it's a form. You know, and it's kind of, that's a forever reach. You get there, and I regularly think, I look at, oh, that's a forever reach. Oh, a forever well, reach. You know, that's it. You know,
I'm gonna show you a forever reach downstairs when we finish. When we finish, yeah. there's one right inside my yard, and you're gonna be like, "Fuck no way! It's a fucking forever reach."
I love it when they pull down these, you go into the underground, they pull down like an old poster and that, and you've just got fucking reaches from like the 80s on there, because a lot of those reaches got buffed. They went for a period of time. You had shutters and whatever, and they had some kind of fucking clean up. And and there are a lot of old reaches.
Just underground. Shame. I remember when I did
see every now and a little cachet.
So I was doing this Virgin Active. No, it wasn't Virgin Active. It was a Virgin commercial for Britain's Got Talent, right?
Yeah.
And it was down in Central, like super central.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube. Yeah, people can see it. And I remember, like, I was on the phone to my manager downstairs. I was probably having some, you know, problem with something or other to do with what they were making me wear or how the fucking sound was.
Like a ruffle or something.
Just some dumb shit. You know, Britain lacks talent when it comes to fucking that sort of shit.
Yeah, you'd have a pair of clogs on or something.
Yeah. I think it was like an all in grey sort of thing. They wanted me to look muted, and I'm like, dude, I'm the least muted person on the planet.
Yeah.
And it won't fit in and all that shit. And I was having a bad one. I'm on the phone and I'm walking around this like abandoned car park. And I'm telling you, it's like underground. You know, when you're walking around on your phone talking about something, and you're also trying to get signal, and before you know it, you're in sort of something. The next thing you know, you could be in any state. But I look round and there's mirror tags. Fucking no,
man, Mia is another constant, actually. You know what I mean? So there's certain people, Mia, lovely guy.
Yeah, I'd love to get him.
Man, he's KTC. Mm. I mean, well, because he's another KTC, you know, he's another one I grew up with. I used to go to school with him. And so I think that's probably how I met Mia. And yeah, man, beautiful, fucking amazing, man. I mean, he's another one. He's got a fucking wicked style.
Yeah, he's got a wicked style.
Yeah, tag wise and piece wise, that's another one. So that's the thing. At the end of this podcast, there's going to be people that I have missed out but there's certain constants, and he is a constant.
Yeah.
He ain't stopped from a. Fuck up, man. Back in, you know, back in. I'm trying to
as well, CPT.
Back in the day, man. 80s. Well. He's an 80s cat, man. He's amazing. Sept.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know Sept. I don't know Sept. I know of Sept, but I don't know him. Mm. So I can't speak.
Can we talk about those Unity Jam days?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, talk to me about the vibe. Talk to me about what they were like.
I was so drunk. I don't fucking know. I got so drunk. They were the days me and Sub, and we would just drink. We just drink until they were the days before Coke. I don't know how I used to do it.
Yeah, staying up that late under the alcohol.
We used to get so fucking drunk, man. Used to roll around, but fucking idiots.
How many Unity Jams were there in total?
Three, I think.
Three, wasn't it?
I think there were three.
I remember seeing Unity Jam 2 and 3 in Graffitism.
Mm.
More prominently, Unity 3 in Graffitism. Yeah. In fact, I think I've got the magazine still, bro.
Great, great, great fucking times. I mean, I done Zom let me do a little dub underneath one of his one time.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, they were smart enough not to let me do nothing because I'd fuck it up. But yeah, I've got one. It's a nice rate, 72. Mm. I've got my blue Kangol on. That's going bad. It must have been like fucking Kangol. Yeah, it was funny. I've got photos of fucking blue Kangol on. My ball head.
I'm thinking that's probably 92, 93.
Yeah.
Those
yeah,
early 90s, that was, yeah.
Yeah. But great times. Mm. Fucking great times, man. We were a big turnout. I mean, Elk, put that together, didn't he, man? I mean,
bless Elk, that's man. Him, isn't he? Beautiful, wait. I am thirsty to have him on.
Yeah.
You know I mean? The stories, him and Fuel.
Mm.
PFB, you knew the PFB guys.
I knew PFB. Yeah. I mean, I knew, you know, like Sean and who was it? I'm trying to think the whole things. I mean, Sub and that was Sub was in PFB and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I never had the honour, but then again, to be honest with you, I mean, it's funny. I didn't know most of the people. I mean, Sub was. What's the word, gregarious? You know, he was out there. He was, as I say, he was the guy that brought everybody in. He was good like that. I mean, I'm not, believe it or not, I'm not that kind of outgoing in a lot of ways.
But you brought a lot of, you brought some heat to...
No,
well, did you, well, okay, so DDS, you invested certain people, didn't you?
No, yeah, but be honest with you, I mean, I'm trying to think. I think Touch.
Touch, yeah.
Touch, take, I think Touch Taken...
touch tape.
And and I'm trying to think who it is, man. But a couple of people. But no, to be honest with you, on the whole, I didn't really put no one in DDS.
Really?
No, man.
No.
Yeah.
But Touch and Take were, for me, that...
They were the new... Yeah, I'm trying to think, man. Store. Do you remember Store?
No, I don't.
He's funny, actually. I think he's DJ Touch, funny, it's weirdly enough. But he's a drum and bass. He's lovely, man.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah, man.
You know, I mean, nothing flicks my switches more than to hear writers... Like, Goldie's a great example, a fucking phenomenal example of it. But I love it when I hear there is mixed, like, mediums in which people, like, completely immerse themselves in the culture of, like, of the street. Like, I like the fact that I do a podcast about the shit, but I love it when there's, like for instance, Zerks.
Oh, yeah.
He's been on, and he does photography and crazy stuff, books, but he's into, like...
I remember when Zerks was getting up, man, because he's around Camden. You always see Zerks stuff. Yeah. Did he write something else?
No, just Zerks.
Yeah.
But that was how that kind of... I described them as that tox era of, like, graph, wasn't it? Yeah. You know, there's eras. I think Take and Touch and Koz and... Zonk and
that is a real era, yeah. So, yeah, man.
That was my era. I think them and Vamp and them guys.
That was because that's the next generation and they were smashing it, you know what I mean? Properly smashing it.
Aggressively as well, like some serious.
It's the only way to do it.
Yeah.
But it was. I mean, like, Koz, he's a fucking force of nature, man.
Force of fucking nature, bro.
Still, to this day, and not only that, he's kind of that old school, still got that old school mentality. He goes out racking and goes out painting and goes out and, you know, brilliant, man. Yeah.
And the finesse of it as well. It's not for a second do I feel like it's forced.
Yeah.
It's just
genuine.
Real deal.
Yeah, it's a real deal.
The writer's writer.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely, man.
Zonk was also like a force in DDS as well, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that was all from the side. That's because it's funny because there's sides because you got like Bosch and you had like Pabs and that was another stable Chop.
Yeah.
And you had all them kind of North London writers, you know, and they were from that side. And you had Ouch.
Yeah.
And then you had as well, who's the other one, man? He smashed, think of his name in a minute. Idea, man. I mean, they smashed it. You know, you think that was all that side because that it's funny, isn't it? You've got that. It's weird. Maybe that's how I process it. You know, but that's how I see them. You know, them like North heads. You know,
and then there was the Western guys, which were
well, you're saying that Zonk and all that. They're kind of Northwest, kind of from you know, from around them sides and stuff like that. But yeah, good people, man.
I still see a lot of old school like tags.
Yeah,
in and around, between here and Kensal Green, like there's a lot of, and that's what I always think. You know, I don't know why I thought Zon until talking with him. Yeah. I always thought Zon was West London. I have no idea why I got that from. You know what I mean? I think what happens is maybe it's a perception of
you. Yeah, no, originally South Head, isn't he?
Yeah, he is a South Head.
Yeah, South Head.
Super South. Yeah. And so's Take as well, and all these guys.
Like, yeah, man. Because of the styles and stuff like that, it's a different monster, man. As I say, South, you know, if they just were extra, always, man. I mean, South right is always like a Sham.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh, I listen. Big up, Sham.
Yeah, man. You know, that's another one. Man. I mean, you think? I mean, I remember, we're going back in the '80s, like early things, man. You see, Sham takes about never changed. Always Sham. Sham rocks.
Even Froze, the Froze of the same as well.
You know,
he was my merchandise guy.
Really?
He came and rode with me for two tours, and he was doing my merch. And while I was performing, he was going out sticking for me.
Yeah,
that's my G.
Yeah, man. Man, I worked with a shop with him in the Stees. You know, great days, lots of fun going out.
Big up Steve as well.
Yeah, of course. And but Sham, you know, I mean, as a constant, he could fucking bomb. I mean, in 59s, man, it would go from one side of the fucking street to the other, one side of the train to the other. Those 59s.
Yeah, did you ever? Man. Okay, this is more psychological now. I'm going to ask this question. Is there a fear of that, like when you're you're that guy hanging out with this guy, and particularly back in the day where it was a lot more rife. Did you ever feel like slightly overwhelmed by their activity at any single time, where you're just like, fucking hell, he's really going ham on this, and I'm not going ham. Like, do you feel like, oh my shit,
I used to hang out with Sub, for fuck's sake. I mean, that guy would just fucking lose the plot and start bombing fucking cars, and I'd be looking at him, and like, doors, people, bombing wise, he took the fucking piss, and I'd be there, and I'm like, what are you doing? And
did that fear, was there fear involved?
It wasn't. I just used to shake my head like, you fucking idiot. No, fear got broken me quite early on in the game.
Right.
Fear had to go. It's not, you know, definitely you've got people doing stupid shit. I mean, I used to do it myself up to a point, but there's degrees of it, and some people just took a piss.
Yeah, I think you've got a degree where you just know where the line. Sure.
As I say, I love that word. So, a habitual line stepper. That's fucking Sub, man. He's wow. Habitual. That guy had no fucking. There was just no limit to, you know, if you fell asleep on the floor, you'd end up with a Sub on your back. I remember a guy going up on escalators, and he's looking, and he bombed his fucking rucksack as he's going up. You find it funny, man. It just. And he would hit anything. Wow. Anything. You're just like, oh, come on, man. Tim Westwood's door got it. You know, it's like, I think that's where Tim lives. I was like, no, don't do it. Fucking big S on it. Big silver S on a black door. No, you can't.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it just gets to the point.
Nowadays, if I had a Sub on my door, I'd be pretty fucking.
He got upset with me. Remember you saying about the stickers of your girlfriend? Yeah, he got really upset with me over something. And he stickered. Well, I was living at my parents' house down in Green Lanes, and he stickered the house. And it's funny, but he did do it once. And I remember the next time he done it, she goes, Sub's been around again.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like Sub one, don't transform. We had a big falling out. I don't talk about it. But you know, about he stickered me up, man. I made my laugh. My mum goes, oh, Sub's come around again. Yeah, and I looked at her, she goes, you take him off. Fucking, he must have lost it, man. Stickered me up, boy. But yeah,
isn't it like with the desire, like now we look upon that era, like these like I know them as being incredibly key to like some of the things that a lot of writers nowadays would never even consider. The closest comparable, I guess, from a music point of view is like, all right, Bowie, right? I never grew up on Bowie. That wasn't my thing. But I respect that he existed, because without him, wouldn't have been Iggy Pop. Without him, wouldn't have been Blondie. Right, okay. Without the rap thing.
The whole structure.
Yeah. Right? So would you argue that that was probably the case with a lot of younger writers now? Do you think there's a detachment? Because when you talk about Sub and the kind of activities, that is beyond anything that anyone would do now.
Yeah, but I think a lot of it is just what's applicable to you. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, I suppose, you know, I do believe if you're going to get into something, maybe you should learn a bit about it.
Mm.
But then again, is it a throwaway society? I don't know. It's kind of, until that happens, You're not gonna follow the rules. I mean, I don't know. It's a double-edged sword because...
It is a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Yeah, because if you follow the lines... Originally, I got into graph because of the freedom. Then I realised the hierarchy. So then if I'm going to say, well, maybe you should learn your history and basically take you... Is it almost kind of learn your stare or learn your, you know, the degree you're in? Then I'm kind of going against what I originally think, but...
I feel that.
Because I do believe graph should be freedom. Yeah. This is when... street art come in and get a lot of people. It's like, ah, man, that shit, man. I mean, it's amazing street art. But then it's like, even with Banksy and shit like that. And I mean, you know, there's a whole thing. This fucking guy making money in the days where it was all about selling out.
Mm.
Like, fucking selling out. Man, why not make money out of what you're doing? You know, I've got no problem. At the end of the day, you think the amount of people have invested their time into graph and stuff like that. Well, you want to make a few quid off it? I'm going to say shit. And with Banksy and stuff like that, man, what the fuck? He done it. You know, man's, you know, he's sitting there. I remember meeting that guy. when he first started out, he'd done that big fucking silver monkey at Royal Oak and was in Tufnell Park Hall of Fame. I had no idea who he was. And he'd come up. He's like, "Oh, man, we got form." He goes, "Oh, Banksy. Okay." No, did we? I kind of heard his little rustling going on. I think he'd started putting up the statues and stuff. So, okay. He goes, "Oh, I've done the silver monkey at Royal Oak." I thought it was for you. Sort of stupid thing that he would do. Because remember they had the big Bosch.
I remember the big Bosch and the big fume. I remember the monkey as well. Pieces.
And the silver, and with the Terminator X glasses. Mm-hmm.
Dude.
And yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, "I've done the monkey." I was like, "Oh, fuck, I thought it was for you." I goes, "Oh, okay, that's nice." And that's about the extent of the conversation. But, you know, he seemed nice enough. And it's just, I never really got into that whole thing, man. It's kind of like, you do your shit. And even earn some money at it, man, you'd be full. Well, you know, I done this. Say, for example, I had the fucking brains or the wherewithal to do it. I wouldn't mind fucking making a few grand on 72s and fucking fixing some cunt's computer. Do you know what I mean? It's so, man, what the hell? I don't know. But it's weird. Each to their own, I think, you know, but I never really got it.
I know what you mean by getting it. I think there's a... Right, okay. Yes, please, brother, yeah. I'm going to be a bit spicy now.
You have to
share me. Oh, I'm going to be a bit spicy now. I need gently spicy, not too... Gently mild. Spicy. I'm going to be mild.
Yeah.
But, like, take, for instance, ATG and the way that they kind of, quote-unquote, marketed their stuff. Like, you get an ATG T-shirt. I remember getting a bunch of, like, ATG T-shirts. And it's just like... It was... It's a fine line, isn't there? Between what is as an organism has been built around an illegality to then become like a brand. A
product.
Yeah. Mm. It's almost like...
I always admired that though, yeah, with Bassett, because I mean, from a young, when I first met him, it's one of my first things. I was like, man, this guy's got his head screwed on.
It's natural progression, bro.
Yeah, but and that is his whole thing. He's kind of like, man, this is it. You know what I mean? ATG, da, da, da. And I did, because I mean, I've always, there's a few people in my life I've met and I'm like, wow, I mean, it's not because it's... so different from me. I mean, I'm not great like that, but I just like, man, you've got your head screwed on.
Mm.
The whole ATG, and you know, it's very new. And I think that was another side in the beginning where a lot of people gave them shit. Because, that's that whole, I don't know, man. It's weird.
Mm. DDS could have done it.
In the climate that it was, in the climate at the time, it was at that, yeah, it wouldn't happen.
It was too hot, wasn't it? It was
way
too hot.
But it's just the climate at the time because there was that whole selling out shit.
Yeah,
in the
80s
and 90s, it's called selling out, and I never got it.
Yeah.
Oh, you're fucking selling out. And I'm like, don't get it, man. You know, it's kind of, I never really get it. Well, no, I'm not trying to make some fucking money. It's kind of
have you ever been money driven like that?
No,
I don't think
like
you
a
have
tramp.
No, you don't. fucking Don. But like I love that in an that in an artist. I love that in anybody that is just completely at peace with. If I had really like anything else to fall back on, which I don't, you know, I'm battling with, it's almost like trying to, with restriction comes creativity. So my entrepreneurial skills are really leveled on what my abilities are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you can actually make a lot of money out of those one light streams. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And I love that about output and making art. But at the same time, I'd almost love to just like be bohemian and just fuck it all off.
Yeah, you can if you've got the fucking cash. Or you're prepared to fucking make sacrifices. You know, completely nothing, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to pay the rent. That's a big bastard.
Mm.
But, I mean, if you didn't have to pay the rent, then, you know, it's great to live in a box. But coming back to it, selling out, the way I see that shit is that if you're going to bend what you do, say, for example, with your beatboxing and stuff, all of a sudden they want you to start fucking beatboxing the theme tune to fucking EastEnders or some kind of bullshit, then you're like, right, I'm selling out because all of a sudden my funk or what I want to do, you know, I'm not doing, I don't know, man, like, trying to think of something, man, but it's just, that's when you're selling out, when you all of a sudden say, you know what, my talent... Now
it's been compromised,
completely compromised. So all of a sudden, I'm drawing naked women and not doing pieces or doing this kind of, you know, art form that I believe in to make money. That's selling out when you completely bend your skill to that, you know,
to the current
saying that. And you're on a second level, You've got to pay the rent.
You've got to pay the rent.
It's so, you know what I mean? I suck your cock for a cheeseburger, man. Vroom, vroom.
Oh, you said it. You nailed it. It's vroom, but listen, and like you say, that is like the real kind of like fine line of doing things corporately and for the rent, you know?
That's the bollocks. And that's the thing. I mean, so at one point, I can, you know, that's the thing. I can say one thing and just say, you know what? Yeah, I'm bending it up. Sometimes I have to fucking pay the rent.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You shouldn't feel ashamed about it, but at the same time, if you can, you know, push your shit through and then great. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah, man.
We just have to do what we have to do.
And we're in an amazing place for it right now.
Ah, man, we're in the luckiest place in the world. Pretty much, so lucky, man. We are. I've always said, man, I'm up there in the top 5%.
Yeah.
I say this, man. And the thing is, it's like not being too rich, too poor, too whatever, but being here where, you know, we're oppressed, but we're not oppressed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There is a, what do you call it, a statue of limitations, but we're fucking lucky, man.
Yeah.
Fucking lucky.
And living, you know, well. I mean, living well.
I can say, man, living in a little council flat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Exactly. I'm happy with that, man. You know, kicking crackheads off the fucking things. Shouting at crackheads and the fuck. I'm puking over the door. But, you know, yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people listening that are very happy to hear that you're well.
Man.
That's what I'm saying.
As well as can be, you know.
It's been a pleasure having you on.
Well, it's been a pleasure you inviting me on.
I think I owe you some beers. We're going to go across the road and have a little bit more of a chat. How's that?
Fucking sounds like a winner.
Top boy. Form 72, and a pleasure, brother.
Man, lovely. I'm happy to be here.
Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday, isn't it?
Happy Sundays, man. Not the happy Mondays. Happy Sundays.
We're the happy Sundays, right?
Happy Sundays.
Just in my melon, man. Ladies and gentlemen, Killer Keller podcast strikes again with only the honest, the best and the coolest fucking motherfuckers that come through the ride. 472, thank you so much, brother.
Wicked, man. Lovely, man.
Don't forget to subscribe, people. Do not sleep. I repeat, do not sleep. Killer Keller podcast. Peace.